Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, find your notes that are there in your bulletin. Follow along with us this morning. Now, this weekend is a great weekend for our country because we take time to remember those who have given their lives for our freedom. And we are very grateful people for that. And tomorrow is that celebration of Memorial Day. But this weekend is also a great day for the church, because today is Pentecost Sunday. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Now, let me just give you a little history so that you all kind of are together on this, and let me just kind of give you a little explanation. Pentecost means 50. 50, Pente, 50. And it's also called the Feast of Shabbat, or the Feast of Weeks. And it was celebrated 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. Now, you're going to be tested on this later, so keep track of everything, okay? Okay? The Feast of First Fruits was the day Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So 50 days from the resurrection of Christ was the day of Pentecost. In the Old Testament, the celebration of the feast began when God instituted with the children of Israel called Passover. They were slaves in Egypt. He said, I'm going to set you free. You celebrate this Passover, and from this day forward, you're going to celebrate it every year because I'm going to deliver you. He sets them free. They come out of Egypt. And about 50 days later, God gives the children of Israel the Ten Commandments. He gives them their law. He establishes them as a nation. And the Jewish nation was established there on the giving of the law. Now in the New Testament, when the day of Pentecost comes, Jesus Christ establishes the church. It now begins to be the day of the Gentiles. And God is doing something brand new. So you have an Old Testament connection with a New Testament connection. You have the old beginning with the new, Pentecost Sunday. It's a great day for us because it's the giving of the Holy Spirit. It's the birth of the church. It's the day of the Gentiles. And you and I, by the way, in case you don't know, we're Gentiles. Okay? Most of us in this room. So God says, this is what I'm going to do for you. And I'm going to give you a partner, a spiritual partner. Now, let me just ask you a simple question. How many of you need some help in your walk with God? Okay? How many of you know the person next to you needs some help in their walk with God? Okay? We've been given a spiritual partner to help us. Look at John chapter 14, verse 16. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world at large cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him, doesn't recognize Him, but you do because He lives with you now and will be in you later. So Jesus says, I'm going to send you someone. Someone's coming who's going to help you. He's going to be a counselor with you. He's never leave you. He will lead you into truth. And so God says, I want to give you a partner. So let's look first of all at the promise of a spiritual partner. The promise of a spiritual partner. That God says, I'm going to give you a partner. Jesus Christ told His disciples, I'm going to give you a partner. It's a promise. And how many of you understand God never breaks a promise? Never does. If He says it, you can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. So the promise of Jesus reveals our need. The promise of Jesus reveals our need. Notice what else He tells the disciples in John chapter 16, verse 5. Now I'm going away to the one who sent me, and none of you has asked me where I'm going. Instead, you're very sad. But it's actually best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the counselor won't come. If I do go away, He will come, because I will send Him to you. Who's the counselor? We've already read it, right? The Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, look, guys, I'm going away. Now, they're sad about this, aren't they? They don't want this to happen. They think, how in the world can you leave us? And Jesus tells them these words that I don't think they fully understood. He said this to them, I need to leave so he could come. Now, the disciples, I'm sure, said, no, you don't. No, you don't. I'd rather have you, you know, yes, I do. How critical was it? Jesus says, I need to do this because you need the Holy Spirit. You need him in your life. Now, we have a need for this. A few questions. Have you ever made a dumb decision? Have you ever stayed up late at night worrying about a situation that you couldn't control? Have you ever had people problems? Do you ever mismanage your anger? Have you ever caved in when it really counted? Do you ever have a hard time getting along with, let's say, you? Do you ever have a problem handling life? Jesus said, you need help, and I'm going to provide it. Now, we've already admitted we need help, right? We already recognize we have a need. And Jesus says, I know what your need is, and you need help. Now, Jesus could say that to us. Don't you try and to say that to somebody else, okay? Jesus tells us the truth. I need help. I need help in my relationship with him. I need help to be able to do what he wants me to do. I need help to live life in a way that honors God. I need help to do that. Jesus understood it. I need to understand it today. And the promise that Jesus gave, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to give him to you because you need him. Secondly, the promise of Jesus reveals the Holy Spirit's nature. The Holy Spirit's nature. You need help, and here's who I'm giving to you, and here's what he's like. What he says, you need the help, we recognize that. The Holy Spirit's the one that's going to come and help you. Here's what he's about. Notice John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus replied, all those who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them and will come to them and live with them. They'll obey. That's basically what I said there in that verse. And anyone who doesn't love me will not do what I say. And remember, my words are not my own. The message is from the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Counselor as my representative, and by Counselor I mean the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything, will remind you of everything I myself have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give isn't like the peace the world gives, so don't be troubled or afraid. Wow. He keeps using this word, counselor. Now, I left it in your notes because the word counselor in the Greek means parakletos. All right? In some versions of the Bible, it's translated as comforter. There isn't one word in English that can capture all of its meaning. You understand, don't you? The New Testament was written in Greek. And so when you try to translate Greek into English, sometimes some words don't translate easily, and this is one of them, because it has such a rich variety of meanings. It means all of these things. It is someone who comes alongside. It's someone who stays with you. It's someone who consults. It's a legal term that describes a defense attorney or a character witness. It also describes a specialist in any field who could come in and supply the missing knowledge and insight needing to solve a perplexing problem. It also describes an encourager who knows what to do, the right thing to say and do when a person is suffering or discouraged. He says, I'm going to give you this counselor, this person who's going to walk with you, this person who has all the information that you need, this person who knows what you don't, this person who knows the right way to act and the right way to talk and the right way to do things. He understands things. He has insight that you don't have. He has knowledge that you don't possess. He is able to stand strong when you can't stand strong. He will never lead you. He will stay with you. He will comfort you. He will counsel you. Wow. I need that person. And Jesus says, that's what the Holy Spirit is like. Now, you have to understand something, and I don't have the time this morning to deal with it. But when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about God. Just as when we talk about Jesus Christ, we're talking about God. Just as when we talk about God the Father, we're talking about God. He is God. They're three different, distinct people, and yet they are one. How does that work? I don't know. Neither do you. But that's the way God is, because God's far greater than us, isn't it? We sing about it all the time. The Word tells us God's greater, God's greater, God's greater. And yet, isn't it amazing how we keep trying to bring Him down to our level of understanding, right? So the Holy Spirit, God Himself, Christ in us, is the one who is there. He's the counselor who is able to stay with us, be with us, lead us, direct us, has the insight, knows how things work, knows what to do, sees what we don't see, and He's able to encourage us and to stay with us, and He'll never leave us. That's great news. I'm not alone. Never will be. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, in that verse, you have the Trinity mentioned. Notice, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does Jesus Christ provide for us? Grace, doesn't He? We're saved by grace. The love of God. God the Father loves us. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Three distinct, three different purposes, but yet all together, working as one. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Now again, stretching you a little, the word fellowship in the Greek is koinonia. It means companion. It means associate. It means partner. We have been promised a spiritual partner. And God says, you need it. He's the one. You need help. Yes, God, I do. Always do. I will provide for you someone who will never leave you, who will be with you, and as you are in me, I will be in you, and we will be together, and I will provide the companionship that you need. I will give to you a spiritual partner that is exactly what you need. Now, you see, we get a little confused sometimes because isn't it amazing how we try to tell God what we need? Well, God, I need you to do this, and I need to provide some more money, and I need you to fix this, and I need you to do this, and I need you to do this. And in reality, most of the time, we don't know, do we? But the Holy Spirit does. And He knows exactly what we need. And He has come to be a partner with us so that you and I can have the comfort that we need and have the counsel that we need from someone who knows a whole lot more than we do. That's the Holy Spirit. The promise, Holy Spirit. Then we talk about the priorities of this spiritual partner. The priorities of this spiritual partner. I'm going to give you three this morning. There's other ones that He does, but let's just look at three. It encompasses the main part of what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in our lives. Well, Pastor, if I got this partner that's with me, what's he wanting to do with me? I would like to tell you, look, just shut up and trust him and do what he tells you and forget about all that. But I know that's not how we work, is it? We want to know what's going on and why, don't we? Yeah, we do. Okay. First of all, the Holy Spirit wants to help us get right. He wants to help us get right. This is called salvation. Salvation. You see, what matters most in life is this question. Are you right with God? That's all that matters in life, isn't it? Do you have a right relationship with God? Are things good between you and God. And so what the Holy Spirit is doing all the time is trying to help us stay right with God. Now, you don't need to raise your hand because I hope I know the answer. How many of you want to be right with God? You know, that's our cry, isn't it? That's what we want more than anything else. God, I want to stay right with you. John chapter 16, verse 8. Notice what it says. And when he comes, who's he? Holy Spirit. He will convince the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is unbelief in me. Righteousness, right standing with God, righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you'll see me no more. Jesus says, look, I've done the work for you to be righteous before God. And the Holy Spirit's going to come and bring conviction and going to convince the world that they have sinned against God. And when you realize that and accept that and understand that, then he will warn you of what's up ahead. And when you come and allow him to bring that conviction into your life, and then when you ask for forgiveness of sin, you'll be saved. The Holy Spirit's job is to help us get right with God. He convinces us or convicts us of what's right and what's wrong in our lives. Now, here's the problem. We don't like it when somebody tells us what's wrong with us. Do we? We don't want to hear it. We don't want to believe it. Well, I'm okay. Oh, really? Well, I don't have any major issues. Can we talk? Right? Well, I do, but I don't want to know. I just don't want to have to deal with that. And see, the Holy Spirit constantly in our lives is there to help us understand, you know what? Because of this attitude, because of this action, because of something going on in you, do you understand that this is creating a distance between you and God? And God has come so that you could be saved. Jesus Christ came into the world to save us, didn't he? The Holy Spirit is here, why? To convict people. Do you understand today that you are a Christian, first of all, because of what Jesus Christ did, but secondly, you are a Christian because the Holy Spirit convinced you of your sin. And he pointed it out to you, and he told you you're a sinner. And you were willing to listen to that and apply the blood of Christ to your life by believing in what Jesus Christ did. And so the Holy Spirit wants to help us get right with God. Secondly, the Holy Spirit wants to help us grow right. This is called sanctification. Sanctification. Sanctification means simply this. And I hope you understand it. When I accept Jesus Christ into my life and invite him to live in me through his Spirit, that now he is at work helping me become more mature as a Christian. Correct? Salvation is not the end. Salvation's the beginning. In my walk with God, I'm saved, but I'm not done. Right? God loves you and accepts you just as you are. But he loves you too much to let you stay like you are. Because we all know we need some help, don't we? Now, hold up, Pastor. I wanted God to help me. I recognize I need help. But I don't want him getting in and meddling with me. You know, I need help and I need him to do this and this. Yeah, here's the problem. The Holy Spirit is giving you counsel. He won't shout at you. He won't force you. He's giving you counsel. Are you going to accept it? Are you going to say, yes, you're right? Notice Romans 8:12. So, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation whatsoever to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. In other words, as a Christian, you don't have to sin. You have no obligation to do that. For if you keep on following it, old nature, you will perish. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you turn from it and its evil deeds, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Who's leading? The Holy Spirit. Here's what we need to understand. Healthy babies grow. You do not have to force them to grow. You just give them the milk, they'll grow. Here's what else we know. Healthy Christians grow. How do I grow? By my abilities? By my self-restraint? By my power? No, you can't do it on your own. Physical and spiritual growth is a process. And growing up in God, becoming a more mature believer, isn't a matter of me trying harder. It's a matter of me working with a partner. It's a matter of me being led by what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in my life. Let me put it to you in a little bit more coarse term. It takes me shutting up and listening. It takes me quit trying to give orders and let somebody else order me. It takes me not to think I know what's best for me. It takes me to listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to me. And I have to let Him be in charge and not me. Why does He want to be in control? Is He a power freak? No. He's my partner and He knows what's best for me, doesn't He? He knows what's best for me better than I know what's best for me. And so He convicts me of sin. He convinces me that I'm a sinner. And when I respond to that and receive Christ into my life, now He is doing everything He can to help me grow up and to become more mature in Christ. He is there to counsel me. Do this. Don't do this. That isn't right. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that. You need to go do this. You need to go make this right. You need to take a step here. You need to do this here. And so it's just a matter of me working with a partner. Now hear me. That takes practice, doesn't it? Told you a while back that before long I'll be married 40 years. Okay? I've been with a partner for 40 years. I still at times miss all the signs. I still at times don't get it right. I'm still trying to learn that other language. You know what I'm saying? It just takes time. And you and I work with this partner, and we do our very best to say, you know what? I want you to be in control of my life. I want you to lead me. I want you to direct me. Now, please understand something. When it comes to you allowing the Holy Spirit to give directions, quit thinking 4 months or a year ahead. Just think about right now. What do you need to do today? What do you need to do now? We tend to get so far out in front that we miss the moments. And if you get today right, you'll be on your way to get tomorrow right, won't you? So the Holy Spirit is with you today to help you grow up today. Deal with today. Well, what about, you know what, when you get to that point, He's going to be there with you and He'll help you, won't He? He's not leaving. So the Holy Spirit wants to help you to grow up, to grow right. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit wants to help us go right. This is service. Service. God didn't save you just so you could enjoy yourself. God didn't save you just to take care of you. Because sometimes what happens is we get saved and then we think it's all about us. God saved you to work. God saved you to serve. God saved you to do what He wants you to do, not what you want to do. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking Him, Lord, are You going to free Israel now and to restore our kingdom? Notice, they still didn't get it, did they? They were still thinking, kingdom now. Remember, a little while previous, they'd ask, can I sit in your right when the kingdom comes? Can I sit in your left? Can I have this? They were still thinking that, literally. They were still talking about all the other stuff. Just like you and I sometimes, we're so close to something, we miss it so much. Jesus replies, the Father sets those dates, He replied, and they are not for you to know. There's a lot of things God doesn't want you to know about your future. You can sit on that for a while. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power and will tell people about Me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. He tells them what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Guys, I'm going to send the Counselor. I'm going to send Him. He's going to bring conviction and He's going to convince people of sin. He's going to help you grow up and mature, and He's going to help you do what needs to be done. Because you see, what does God want to happen on this earth right now? Is God concerned about world turmoil? Is God concerned about political processes? No. What's God doing? God wants everybody to be saved. God is concerned about people's souls. God wants to use you and I to do what we can so that other people can come to know Jesus Christ. God wants us to serve in the church, in areas, so that we can do something so that others can come to know Christ. Being a Christian is not just about me, it's about others. Now, you will never grow up fully until you understand that. That is not about you, it's about others. God wants me to help others. God wants me to serve others. God wants me to reach out to others. Now, He gives them a great word there. He's going to give you power. Now, again, let me go back into the Greek. Let me give you this word. It's there in your notes. The word power in the Greek is dunamis. That word translates into our language as dynamic or dynamite. He's going to give you explosive power. It literally means ability. So the Holy Spirit will give you the power, the ability that you need to do whatever needs to be done. Thus, people will come and say, well, Pastor, I'd really love to do something. I just don't think I can. Now, here's what I want to say to you. You're right, you can't, but you should do it anyway. Why? Because you shouldn't be leaning on your power, you should be trusting in God's power. And God will give you the power that you need to do what needs to be done. And if all you're going to do is what you think you can do, you're going to miss out on what the Holy Spirit can help you do. And please, believe me, you can do a whole lot more for God than what you think. You hear me? You can do a whole lot more for God. Why do we shrink back? Because we're thinking about us, aren't we? We don't understand that we have a spiritual partner. God will help you and provide for you what you have need of. This partner is alive in us. He's brought us to Christ through convincing us of sin. He's working in our lives to make us more and more like God so that we grow up and become mature and be led by the Spirit of God rather than our nature. He's using us and empowering us to work for Him and to help Him as He's doing everything that He can to bring people to Jesus Christ. Because today, the Holy Spirit is working on people all over the world about their sin problem, trying to get them to understand that God's the solution to sin. What are you and I doing to help that? He says, I'm going to give you a partner. He's going to come and help you. He'll bring you to God. He'll help you grow up in God, and He'll use you. He'll give you the power that you need. Will you work with Him? That becomes the question, doesn't it? And so then we come to this place, what are the preparation for a spiritual partner? Well, if that's what He does, and that's what He's like, and that's my need. What do I need to do in order for this to happen? What do I need to do in order for this partner and me to be the people we need to be? Because you see, one of our biggest problems in life is letting someone help us. We don't like anyone to help us. Oh, I can do that. Well, I was sick and I was going through this and I was there. Well, did you tell anybody? Well, no, I can take care of that. Well, maybe you could, but you shouldn't. We want to be, what's our great word? Independent. We want to be self-sufficient, don't we? Hello? And do you understand that that goes against everything that Christianity teaches? And Jesus said to his disciples, I'm leaving because you need help. And I'm going to send you someone who will help you, hear me, if you'll let him. See, the Holy Spirit's able to do far more than you can imagine. The only thing that holds him back is you. Because I want to do it my own. I know what I need. I'll take care of it. Well, I'll do what I like to do. I'll do it my way. And see, we want to do it by ourselves. Now, sometimes we'll get real, real spiritual. Well, I'll let somebody help me over here, but they're not going to touch this area of my life. Well, I'll let you help me with this, but you're not helping me here. So how do we allow him to help us? Just two things real quick. There's others, but let me just boil it down to two. First of all, obedience. Obedience. Today, am I doing those things in my life that I sense God wants me to do? That I sense the Holy Spirit is telling me I need to do? Am I obeying God with what I know? Acts 1:4. One of these meetings, as he was eating a meal with them, he told them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you what he promised. Remember, I've told you about this before. You know, the disciples needed a reminder often, didn't they? So do you and I, don't we? Yes, yes, yes. John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:12. The apostles were at the Mount of Olives when this happened. Jesus was taken up into the clouds. That happened about 40 days after his resurrection. So we know that they were up in the upper room waiting for about 10 days. They walked a half mile back to Jerusalem. Then they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here's a list of those who were present. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon, Judas. You know, this is the last appearance of Jesus. And what do the disciples do? They go back to Jerusalem and they begin to wait. Now hear me. If you want the Holy Spirit to be your partner, you're going to have to wait for him. He's not going to move as fast as you want him to. Because we are impatient people, aren't we? And what do we find the disciples doing here? They're obeying what Jesus told them to do. You go back there and you wait until. Now let me just ask you a question. How well would you have done at that? Some of you maybe lasted a day or two. Well, I've waited long enough. Some of you, 10 days. Man, that's forever, isn't it? I mean, I don't even have my cell phone that I can play a game on while I'm waiting. I've got nothing here, and I'm just sitting here waiting. Boy, we'd go crazy, wouldn't we? But they obeyed what Jesus told them to do. Now, did they understand what was happening? No. Remember, they're still thinking, you coming back, putting the kingdom in place? Were you going to set us up, restoring Israel? You're going to do this? What are we waiting for? What's going to happen? We seldom get an explanation. The issue is not that we know. The issue is, will we obey? Most of the time, it doesn't make sense to us. But you see, we have a partner who works together with us, and we need to trust that partner, don't we? And by the way, if that partnership's going to last, that partner needs to own the majority of stock and needs to be in control. And the only way that I get help is when I learn to listen and obey. And obedience to what I know is right puts me in a position for my partner to help me. Now, here's what we do. We go our merry way, and then we get in trouble, and when things get really bad, we say, help! And the partner wants to say, look, if you'd have done what I told you to do back here, you wouldn't be here now. If you'd have just listened to me and obeyed me with what I was telling you to do, you wouldn't have been so impatient. You wouldn't have thought you knew best. You wouldn't have let your anger get a hold of you. You wouldn't have let your pride direct you. If you were to listen, you wouldn't have been here. Now, hear me. The Holy Spirit's still going to help you, but now you've got to recover, don't you? Now you're going to deal with the issues of your disobedience, aren't you? Holy Spirit's still there to help. But now he's got to get you out of a mess that you created. And when we do that, who do we blame? God. If I'll do my part, God will do his. If I listen and obey, the Holy Spirit will lead me where I need to be and what I need to do. I won't always understand it. It won't always make sense to me. It's not always logical, but it's always right, and it's always for my best interest. It's always going to help me be more godly. It's always going to lead me to a place that I want to be at. But he takes a different course than what I think he should take. Anybody else relate to this? Hello? Obedience. Second thing, oneness. Oneness. Verse 14, Acts 1. They all met together continually for prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, the brothers of Jesus. In other words, it wasn't, well, listen, I'm going to go home. I'll wait at my house. I want to be by myself. Christianity is not something for you to be alone with. You and I need to be one with God, and we need to be one with each other. They were met continually for prayer. And remember when Jesus said, look, if you come to pray and give your gifts and do what you need to do, and you recognize you've got something against somebody else, you need to go and make it right before you come back here. Jesus often taught, you know what? How can I answer your prayers when you won't get along with one another? And Jesus spoke often about the necessity of getting along with people. He said that the world would know we're disciples by the way we love one another. See, the Holy Spirit allows me to get along with people. The Holy Spirit will not isolate you. He will allow you to be able to get along with one another. The Holy Spirit creates unity. Spiritual unity promotes the Holy Spirit's power. Christianity is never done well alone. We need each other. And the better I serve others, the better I serve God. How do I allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life? Because I need a partner. I understand what he's doing and why he's here. He's brought me to Christ. He wants to help me to grow in Christ. He wants me to go and do those things that are pleasing to him. I need to be a person who's obeying God, doing what God wants me to do, and what I know. I need to take those steps of where God has led me now. And then I need to be willing to join together and be one with my brothers and sisters in Christ, because God loves us and wants to build us together, doesn't he? Do you understand that God's not only trying to mature you vertically so that you can be having a better relationship with him, but one of the ways that plays out is for you to grow horizontally so that you get along with other people. So let me ask you a question today. A couple of them. Number one, do you need a spiritual partner? Do you have a spiritual partner? If you're a Christian, the answer is yes, isn't it? Are you allowing that partner, the Holy Spirit, to help you in your walk with God? Are you growing? Are you doing? Are you coming to that place where you're serving and you're obeying God and you're getting along with others. The day of Pentecost is about the Holy Spirit coming into this world so that you and I would have a partner to help us in our walk with God.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.